You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 250, Chicken Run, amending the record. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties because it's time to dive into today's episode.
Hey there, animation addicts. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling.
And I'm Chelsea Robson.
Chelsea, question for you. Have you ever owned chickens?
I have.
Really? Actually. Tell me. Tell me more.
Yes. We used to have, at the ranch, we used to have a whole brood of chickens. And all I remember is trying to hold them and always getting pecked out by the parents.
Oh, no.
It was never fun. I was super young. But it was like my goal. Like, I'm going to go catch them, you know? And yeah, the mama birds didn't like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So how long did you have chickens for? Like a few years? Was it off and on throughout the years?
It was a couple years. I mean, we had several different forms of bird species.
We never had a turkey.
We never had turkeys, but we had an ostrich, as I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had two ostriches over time. And then we had peacocks, which are the dumbest birds. They're just so, so dumb. Peacocks and chickens and ducks. Although the ducks were not particularly ours, but they came seasonally every single year. You had this couple, the mallard ducks, that they would just come and every season would come and say hi. And I'm like, oh, hey, the ducks are back. They'd have their babies and then they would leave.
Nice. Yes, my parents are dealing with ducks right now. They had ducks like to nest in their backyard, and then next thing you know, you find a mom duck with a whole bunch of babies in the pool.
I wonder if it's the same
and
ducks.
They leave poop everywhere
because we're not there anymore.
Yeah, so she saw the mom and dad kind of hanging around, and then she noticed that there were some eggs, so she confiscated the eggs, said sorry, this isn't happening. We ate one of the eggs, actually. And then, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, she sees a mom with a whole bunch of baby ducks floating in the pool. Not floating, swimming. So somehow she missed a bunch. So then they had to spend all afternoon trying to get rid of them. They live along a canal, so it's very easy to just lift them over the canal and be like, okay, this is your new home now, not my pool. But then a few days later, just another random chick, one random duckling was hanging out in her pool. So I don't know if it was a late bloomer or hatcher or something or where it came from. But yeah, so this has been the duck saga at my parents' house.
I wonder if they're the same ducks.
There's thousands of ducks in the area, you know.
They're everywhere. And the other side of the canal is the golf course. So. Yes. They always hang out there, too.
Plenty of water available.
Plenty.
Well, speaking of fowl,
we are going to be going into a series of flying fowl on our upcoming episodes, which I'm kind of excited about.
It's been a while since we've done one of these theming episodes, right?
I mean, aside from our nerdy couch discussions, but like as far as movie goes, yeah, right. It's been a while.
We did like a dog series.
Mice and rats.
Mice and rats. Yes. Good times. So now we're doing flying fowl, which is great. We could have just called it our chicken series, but we had to add some other birds in there. So we're just calling it fowl. Good times.
We've got Chicken Run, Chicken Little, and then the Swan Princess 9 and 10. So be on the lookout for those.
That's going to be a real big heavy hitter. Lots of people were pandering for those ones. Actually, it was just me because they were so ridiculous. I had Chelsea. I was like, Chelsea, you have to. You have to. There is no way that we cannot do this. So now is the time.
Now is the time. Be ready for that.
So with that, let's jump into our main discussion.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We're talking about Chicken Run. The studio was Aardman Animations and DreamWorks Animation Studios. They were the distributor. Directors were Peter Lord and Nick Park of Aardman Animation fame, Wallace and Gromit. Very, very famous. Release date, June 23rd, 2000. Budget, $45 million estimated. And it did around $224 million in the box office. So overall, very, very, very good.
Yes, I think this time, so this is 2000. And you have a lot of really good movies coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. you had some. But this was the year of Dinosaur. Yay.
Woo!
Titan A.E., which is cool. El Dorado. Okay. Emperor's New Groove. And Land Before Time, The Stone of Cold Fire.
Oh, really? That's a real name? The Stone of Cold Fire?
Like, I think we should just do a Nerdy Couch discussion where we just talk
the names.
About all of the names of these series.
I'm down, for sure.
But there weren't a lot of really mega great movies that year. Everybody loves Emperor's New Groove. Who's seen it? They just love it. Mm-hmm. But when it came out, it really wasn't that big.
Yes.
And then El Dorado, also not a heavy hitter. Titan A.E., not a heavy hitter. So the fact that they were able to get, you know, $200 million out of this, I'm just like, you know, that's, you know,
Mad
that's
props
really
to
good.
You. Yes.
Props to you.
Considering, especially it's a stop motion animated film, which in recent years, we've seen that those just do terribly at the box office for one reason or another. And this one, I remember seeing this one in theaters very distinctly. I remember I was in a theater and I saw this. I never saw it again after that point, but I remember really enjoying it and being excited for this one.
I remember that I saw it. I don't remember if I was in a theater, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is like this movie, while it was stop motion, Aardman, so clever, so classy and funny and just silly, and you love watching them. But being that it's 22 years later, like I don't remember. I did not remember a thing about it until I watched it this week.
Right. Yeah, this was actually requested by one of our patrons, Bethany. We were talking with her on the Rotocast and we said, hey, you know what? Our schedule is free. Tell us what we should review next. And so she gave us some ideas. And so we said, yeah, Chicken Run. Let's do it. And it's good because it's an Aardman animation film distributed by DreamWorks. You know, we've been doing tons of Disney recently. So it was nice to step away and do something a little different.
Yeah.
So it's interesting right away once, you know, when we're talking about these characters. What I really liked about this movie is that there's not too many characters that you really have to pay attention. There's Ginger, there's Rocky, Mr. Tweety, and Mrs. Tweety, and there's just a few others that aren't really too big. So it's a very small cast of characters, and they all have very, very clear characters and motivations, and that's what I really liked. It's just, especially once Rocky comes onto the scene, his voice, Mel Gibson, I didn't even know who it was, but I was like, I know that voice, and then within a few minutes, I'm like, Mel Gibson, of course.
right. I mean, honestly, when Rocky comes on the scene, it goes from like a 6, you know, as far as enjoyment level to a 10.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, you're funny. This is, you just added a completely another level of like fun to this story. You know, it's cool when you're looking at the actual characters and the voice actors behind it. Two of the actresses and one of the actors are actually from the Harry Potter franchise. I didn't realize this as I was listening, but then later on I was like, oh yeah. So as Bunty, we have Imelda Staunton, who played our wonderful,
love to hate her, Dolores Umbridge.
And Nick the Rat was Timothy Spall, who is great as Peter Pettigrew, ironically, was an unregistered animagus that could turn into a rat. And then Mrs. Tweedy was Miranda Richardson, who as Rita Skeeter.
Rita Skeeter.
Like, very nice.
Awesome.
I was a fan of that. It's crazy. Like, the fact that Aardman and stop motion, you just have to create so many of these characters, and just the vast amount of work that goes into any type of stop motion just boggles my mind. And we say that every single time we review one of these films.
Right?
Every single time. But every single time, it just, I am reminded how much my mind is boggled. There were over 563 feathered and costumed puppets in this film.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It's impressive. So yeah. Much work. Wow.
As far as the story goes, and our document thing asks for, like, as a standard, like, were there themes? And the only theme I got out of this was, if you don't lay eggs, you die.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't really, like, go against that as being heavy stakes.
The whole premise of this movie is just really funny. It's about chickens that live in basically a chicken farm, and hey, they want to escape. So how are we going to do it? So it's very much a kind of like a heist movie in a way, and they do it really, really, really well. And I really like the bad guys. So we have the Tweedies, and one is just kind of like what's the lady from Matilda? Trunchbull, just like super evil. She's always evil. We know to avoid her. And then her husband, who's just a total doof. But I love just the running gag that he knows that there's something happening with the chickens. They're plotting.
It's all in my head. It's all in my head. Yeah. Another thing I like about this is dry British humor is just so lovely.
Yeah.
It just... the whole thing, you have to listen to very small things to be able to to really get the humor of this whole thing, because none of it is going to be slapstick. I mean, there are some slapstick moments, but the real humor comes in the dialogue. And for example, when Rocky comes in and he's like, they call me the Lone Free Ranger.
I laughed every time they said that.
I was just like, oh, that's so great. And then the grandpa type duck, or not duck, chicken, and Miss as Fowler. And that one was done by Benjamin Withrow. I spent a lot of time on the IMDb like trivia section. And because it just like, this movie is really good, but there wasn't a lot of things that I felt like I could just say off the cuff to be able to talk about.
Right.
And so you have to do more digging if you're going to do a podcast on this. So one of the funny things is it's actually, there was a moment in British war history where the army came in and they said that because some chickens, or not maybe not the army, but like a group of soldiers came in to this fight, and because this group of chickens kind of like exploded out of their hens and like kind of fought alongside them. And so it was basically saying that this Fowler was one of those chickens from that real life event. And so I was like, well, that's fun. I wouldn't have known that. And then also at the very beginning, the first chicken to get the head cut off was, it was the name of one of the politicians who ended up like losing her spot because of some chicken related industry or something. And I was like, these are really deep cuts. You have to be really in the know of British politics to be able to know what these things, like the humor behind something like that. But having found out about it after, I was like, I like it. I like it. Good job, guys.
I'm a fan.
I'm a fan. Well, and Nick Park, he actually kept chickens as pets when he was a boy, and he named one Rocky, the Lone Free Ranger. Then later he ended up working at a chicken packing factory. And so
on the brain.
Yeah. So he said that his days at the slaughterhouse gave him the idea for the pie machine. And also Ginger hung upside down from her legs. So it's like all these... when they pack chickens and whatnot. So the fact that he worked in this is like, all right, we're making a movie about this. It's like,
nice.
Such a weird thing, but funny.
It's interesting because this movie was really good and I enjoyed it, but I'm having a hard time articulating or talking about things that I really liked, you know?
Yeah.
I really do. You know, of course they have the, you lied to me. We need to get a clip of Mason from old episodes and just have a little soundbite for our soundboard. Yes, we need to have that because this is definitely one of those moments. But because he claims that he can help them. He claims that he can fly. And oh no, she finds the other part of his poster. Turns out he's being shot out of a cannon. He can't fly. Just like Buzz Lightyear finding out he can't fly. But that's a more I lied to myself sort of thing. Everyone else was not lying to me. They told me.
Yeah.
So one thing that I thought was really interesting was the one like rooster of the bunch.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you can't have a whole bunch of roosters.
Fowler. He's the old guy.
Yeah. But if you think about the optics of that, if these were humans, obviously it's one guy with thousands of women or hundreds of women, but he's just really old. I'm like, to get new chicks, he has to be involved. I don't like it.
Well, in chicken society, I guess.
Chicken society. Let's go.
Chicken society. The rooster is actually the protector of the hens.
Uh-huh.
And if you get a fox or something coming out trying to get them, the rooster will stand up to whatever kind of threat comes and they will attack. And when I talked about how I would get pecked and stuff as a child, I have intimate knowledge of this. So the mother would always go after you, but then also the rooster, if ever involved, would 100% go after you too, because they are the protector. Mm-hmm. And so it is funny that he's the only one there until this new chicken rooster comes in. And generally there is a, you know, fight amongst the male dominant sides. And so Fowler would end up being the one to sleep outside and give up his bunk to the new guy in the end.
Yeah.
Like either way. So, I mean, it's very interesting. Like chickens are very interesting, funny creatures just in and of themselves. And like, there's actually a YouTube channel called Chicken City. And it's just, it's a live stream of this chicken coop. And if you super chat them, then like seed falls from the ceiling, and then like if it gets to a certain level, like if it gets to $100, there's like this like light show that happens called Chicken Party. Like, it is quite the spectacle, but it is funny to watch because you can see like the one rooster, he's always like closest to the camera, and I'm guessing that that's because it's closest to the door of this chicken coop.
Oh yeah,
and I watched it for like 30 minutes yesterday because I was like looking for stuff. And I was like, oh, this is just really, really interesting.
That's great.
And yeah, I'm here watching Chicken Party. But yeah, good times. But yeah, there's Fowler is as being the only rooster and then the new rooster coming in. And that was one thing. Mrs. Tweedy is tired of having these very small profits, and she sees an advertisement. Are you tired of having very small profits?
Yes,
I am. And so she ends up buying this machine off of the what would today be the internet. But
right.
For her, it's like a mail order
catalog. Yep.
And so she has decided to move into the chicken pot pie business. And basically slaughter all of her chickens. Mm-hmm. But in my head, I'm like, you've been using all the eggs and none of the eggs are fertilized. If you use the eggs to eat, none of them are fertilized.
Right,
and so
right. You
don't have a system of creating new chickens. So you're just going to kill all of your chickens. And at what point in time are you planning on having like a full-blown business? Because you're not doing very well.
Right. Yeah, she's not very great, but of course she just jumps to like easy profits. And yeah, your easy profits is I'm going to turn all of my chickens into pies, which I thought that was just a hilarious gag. Like, no, we're not just going to turn them into pies. We're going to have a giant star on star off machine that turns you into a pie. Just does it all in one big fell swoop. It increases the stakes tremendously just by seeing that behemoth there. Yeah.
And I love the humor of when she's pulling out like her dicer and slicer gadget thing and is like showing it to Mr. Tweety. And he's just like, okay, I'll do this. Like, oh gosh, this is, I mean, the visual gags are so good in this. So the main character, her name is Ginger. And of course, Mel Gibson as Rocky. Rocky doesn't ever call her Ginger. Until the very, very end.
Yes.
And is only calling her like, hey, doll face or something like that. It's like so annoying. But then the moment when he actually calls her by her name, she's like, oh, like it's funny.
Yeah.
Rocky is probably just so funny. There's just so many of these little lines that he comes up with that it just looks so good. And when he's talking to the rats and he's like, I'm also, like, you promised them eggs? Well, yeah, I said they would be able to have all of the eggs that I lay. I thought the rats were good. Not necessarily foil, but added comedy relief.
Yeah, exactly. They were good just to break it up because the chickens were just kind of all the same at a certain point. They are very collective society, right? And, you know, we have our main ones that we're supposed to focus in on, but having the rats there were just a nice little touch to, you would have most likely have rats in a chicken farm like this. And of course, they are disgusting and gross, but very opportunistic as always, you know, and they go there at the end and they like the very end where they're sitting there on their little deck, I guess, or whatever it is. And then there's the age old chicken or the egg question. It's just really funny the way that they're discussing it. And it ends on that. It's just a good gag.
Oh, yeah, it's a great gag. Fowler used to be part of the Royal Air Force, which was weird. Like, yes. They're like, okay, we have to build a plane now. And the chase sequence at the end was just so much how Ginger is like hanging from the light strand. Mm-hmm. And then you also have Mrs. Tweety also hanging from it.
Yeah.
And she comes up with her axe and just like slices it.
Yeah.
And then they think that her head was cut off, but then her head comes up and it's like, oh yeah. But like she's holding on to Mrs. Tweety, like, and then lets go of the strand because it happened to be between her hands or wings. Okay. It's just like, it's completely absurd, 100%. But that's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite character in this?
I think Mac was my favorite. Mm-hmm. She's from probably Scotland, I think.
Yes.
And how Rocky can't understand a word that she says. Where he's like, I feel like she's saying words, but I have no idea what she's saying. And that, I believe, is because the first time I went to London, I was with my brother. And we just got off of the Channel. And we went from France into England and we get off the Channel and we're walking around and we've been in a country, like multiple countries that all speak different languages, but now we're in England. And so they supposedly speak English here, but we're listening and I'm like, it sounds like English, but I have no idea what they're saying. So I felt very much related to Rocky in that moment.
Right. And the Scottish accent sometimes can be incredibly thick and hard to understand.
Yes. Well, and like they also talk in like rhymes sometimes.
Yes.
Like they just have a different way of speaking that you have to be used to it in order to be like, oh, okay, I get it. What was your favorite character?
I'd have to say Rocky, just because once he comes, the movie is a 10. He's just funny and he just livens it up a bit. I like the banter that he has between he and Ginger. Like you say, he never says her name properly. Until the end, it's always these nicknames. Yeah. And just the fact that it's Mel Gibson. I'm like, oh, yes, this is great every time I hear you.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is at the point where Rocky leaves and they're like discovering that he's gone. You had one person, Bunty. She's like, I don't even think he was American, which apparently is a reference to the common misconception in Britain that he's Australian. Because even though he's American because he was born here, but then he moved to Australia when he was like 12. And so he was there for a long time. So in the UK, they all think that he is Australian. Just like, it's like these little cultural things. It's like, I don't have no idea about.
I was looking this up and it was a review from 2000. It was basically like, Chicken Run's great, but the kids are not going to get any of the jokes.
No.
And I'm okay with that. Like, watching it this time was very, very enjoyable. Like, I want to watch it again just to watch it with my kids, but then just to giggle at the jokes. There was one joke that was so funny and I laughed so hard and I can't think of it now and I'm so mad. It was just like such a one-off little thing. Guess I'll have to watch it again.
Yes, you will. Yeah. I would laugh with you because I'm sure I laughed the same way too. Because there was a couple moments where I was trying to like multitask.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you can't multitask with this.
No,
kind of
this
a movie.
Is not one. Well, especially it's not one that you know by heart.
Yeah. And right. So you have to actually be involved in order to understand and get all of the jokes. Because after a while, I was realizing, I'm like, I'm missing. That was a joke that I didn't realize was a joke. Dang it.
Yeah.
Rewind. Like, I got to understand what's happening here.
So this movie is actually really interesting because 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Unanimously yeah. loved people, you know, it's funny, it's great, it's amazing. And they actually tried to get this film nominated for Best Picture in the Academy Awards, but it didn't get the nomination. And just the extreme popularity of this film among members of the Academy decided that they were going to include a new category, Best Animated Feature, at the following Academy Awards. So for the movies that come out in 2000, they are eligible for the 2001 Academy Awards. So in 2002, they created this new category, and Shrek was the first film to win Best Animated Feature. But for sure, looking at the lineup we were talking earlier of other films that came out in 2000, like, this would have won an Oscar for sure.
Oh, yeah. Amongst the animated films, for sure. But like, even the fact that they really wanted to make this like best picture.
Yes.
I mean, I understand why, because of the work that goes into it. I also understand that the medium is not seen on the same level by many of the Academy. Like, at this last year's Academy Awards, I was just so, it was really annoying, as most years, when they basically consider the animated feature as the kids show.
Uh-huh.
When it's like, you look at some of these movies that they put on here, like, honey, that is not made for children.
Oh, for sure.
Not to say that they were like foul or anything. In this case, it was foul, but it was more because like the content is just a lot more thought provoking and a la the Red Turtle kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. It's like, what did I just watch? I don't mm-hmm. know. But I really am glad that they added the Best Animated Feature, because on the one hand, I do think that these movies should be considered in the running for Best Picture. But yes. Also, I know that they're not going to get the same amount of notoriety as any of the live actions. And so because of that, I'm glad that they actually have the award for Best Animated Feature.
Yeah, it's interesting because since the creation of this category, it's like, oh, okay, we have a category for you, therefore we don't have to include you in Best Picture anymore.
Right.
Animated films rarely, if ever, have been nominated for, Best Picture. Beauty and the Beast, Up, and Toy Story 3 are the only three films, which is so surprising that two back-to-back. But Beauty and the Beast, I mean,
yeah,
we've talked about that one at length. But Toy Story 3, which is very, very surprising for a threequel to be included. Yeah. Up was nominated for Best Picture, and it's just so good. But I feel like recently there are some really good films that are better than, you know, and the problem is they've expanded the Best Picture nominees.
Uh-huh.
It used to only be like five. Now there's like 10 or something. And mm-hmm. still, despite that, the animated films are not getting recognized. And it is really frustrating that it's like, oh, this is kid stuff. And it's just, there's so much bias towards animation that
against animation, I'd say.
Yes. Against animation, that it just doesn't get a fair shake. And it's frustrating. Like, this one absolutely deserves, you should have gotten all the awards.
All of them.
So did you like the music?
I felt like the music was very clever. It wasn't something that I noticed off the bat as being mm-hmm. like, this is something that like a score that I'm gonna forever remember.
Yeah.
But in looking at it, you got to see who was behind all of it. And I also felt a little bit bad from my last review because I was repeating hearsay as far as like against Hans Zimmer.
He's amending the record.
I would like to amend things because, like I said, I was just repeating, you know, a one-off thing that I hearsay of what I'd heard. And this was also done by Harry Gregson-Williams, who did the last film that we talked about. This was actually the very first time that Harry Gregson-Williams and John Powell were pushed together as co-writers of a score. And so that got me like interested to like see, okay, how was this all put together? So I wanted to do a little more reporting than just what the hearsay was. And our good friend, Harry Gregson-Williams. So I listened to a couple interviews of him, and he was always very appreciative of Hans. Obviously, you would expect a classy guy like him to be appreciative of the guy who gave him his start. Mm-hmm. And he said that he was studying music in a boys choir in Cambridge when he was very young. He started with that, and then he could play some instruments and he could sing. But basically, after his voice changed, he stopped singing. And it just reminded me of that Simpsons episode where he had Grandpa Simpson watching Homer in the boys choir. And he's like, I'm going to be a millionaire. And then like, oh, my voice changed like in the moment. Like, But anyway, he said that he moved into teaching afterwards. And then he started working a bit as an assistant for a studio in Chelsea, which is kind of like the Beverly Hills of England. And
who knew?
Hans came into town as he was working on Crimson Tide, and he needed a choir sound recorded. And so while he was at the studio, he asked Harry, like, here's my, all the harmonies and everything. Can you just give me like get a choir sound together? So he's like, okay. So he like hired a whole bunch of singers, made a little choir and recorded it. And so that he gave it to Hans. And then as he did a good enough job, apparently, that after Hans left a couple of weeks later, he called him and was like, hey, I need you to buy a one-way ticket to California and help me work on Muppet Treasure Island. And he was like, okay. And he was like single and didn't really have anything. Like, he's just a young guy. And so he was like, this is the time when composition and demo started to be on computers. And so Hans also told him, like, okay, you need to learn how to do it all on computers. But he didn't have the money to buy the equipment. And so Hans co-signed the bank loan to help him buy it. And then he describes his time with Hans as happy and intense, which I was like, that makes sense. So later on, Harry and then John were working on a movie together with Gavin Greenway. Gavin Greenway was a musical director that was basically paired up with John. And Harry met them while working with Hans on The Prince of Egypt. And so that's kind of also how they as individuals got into the DreamWorks ecosystem. Harry did a lot of like the screen cues. So like intermittent moments, like basically 5 to 10 second cues. And John and Gavin worked on a lot of the songs with Hans. And then Harry and John then were teamed up together on Ants for the first time. And Harry described John as already being very accomplished because he, quote, had gear and a house and a wife. So for a guy who just had to co-sign a loan in order to buy a computer, like it was just, yeah, the guy already had gear. John wanted to work on records at first in the beginning of his career. And then John Powell. And he moved into advertising music, and that was most of what he did was a lot more cinematic. And then Hans was in London again, working on another project he needed help for in transposing music from one medium to another. So it was not digital, but then he needed it to be digital, and John knew how to do that. And so he started working with Hans on that, and he said he worked a lot. And he had on Christmas Day, he had 1 hour with his wife in the morning, and then he left and basically spent the rest of the day with Hans working on this show. And John Powell says that Hans, he likes people who are, quote, willing to put their life completely on hold and work for him 24 hours a day.
Oh, who doesn't?
Oh my gosh. So I can see like how like a lot of people would see Hans as like kind of the adversarial type. He does have all these ghostwriters and have all these people, because all of these songs in Prince of Egypt, nobody knew that, all these Harry Gregson-Williams and John Powell and Gavin Greenaway were on these films. It was just stated as Hans Zimmer, but he's like making these people like work 24 hours a day. And he's John Powell actually said that he had a t-shirt that said sleep is for wimps. So he was just like, oh gosh. So because he was willing to like put in that extra work, John thinks that Hans considered him to be an asset. So, okay. John Williams, or I'm sorry, not John Williams. John Williams is a very different composer.
Wow, he is wrapped up in this Hans Zimmer tornado.
No, John Powell. John Williams.
John Williams is actually a ghostwriter for Hans Zimmer. Did you know?
Did you know? From what I've heard, John Williams does all of his own stuff. Like, doesn't even have many ghostwriters at all. Mm-hmm. But Hans Zimmer was just, he was on such a high and being asked to do so many things that, and he just accepted them. And it was like, okay, yes. And so that's, he like brings on all these people and works them to death.
But, work yeah, yourself I mean, to death.
Ah, work yourself to death.
Chelsea gets it.
Of course I get it. I can see how people would be a little bit resent. I could see the resentfulness, especially if they weren't the ones that worked the hardest in order to get out of the shadow as a ghostwriter, mm-hmm. and get their own gigs. Because especially, there's not that many really big movies that come out.
Right.
Generally, the people who are producing and directing, they go for, one, people they can afford. But if they can afford anybody, they're going to go for the people that they have big names. And so to get out of and to get a big name, you have to be able to either be connected to somebody who pushes you forward. And from what it seems like is Hans was asked to do Ants, but he couldn't. Mm-hmm. And so he basically said, but you could do these two guys that they've been working with me. And so because they're like, okay, they've a track record with DreamWorks. And so that's how they got in with that. Yeah, it was really interesting to learn about how John Powell and Gavin Greenway, they actually owned an advertising company together. And then they got the gig with Hans, and then paired them with Harry on Ants. And then that's how we ended up here at Chicken Run.
Nice.
So there we go. The interviews I heard with John Powell are really fun too, because he's a very interesting guy. Like his outlook on music, like he sees music as complete manipulation. And I'm like, oh, wow. Well, yeah, I can see that too. And he's like, it's a tool that should be used with care, because I don't mind being manipulated. I just don't want to be hit over the head. And I'm like, isn't that the truth? That's why we watch movies, because we want to feel something.
You want to feel something.
We just don't want to be treated like we don't want to be hit over the head with a frying pan. So there we go. That was the musical moment of this episode and me amending the information so that I'm not just repeating hearsay and I'm actually getting something from sources.
Gotcha. Well, I'm glad you amended the record and Hans has been vindicated. He still loves to work people to death, but hey.
But hey, people know.
Yeah. So as I was looking this movie up, I thought it was on Netflix, which is one of the reasons why I was so gung-ho to do it. It is not on Netflix, but what came up on Netflix was just the filler spot for a sequel to this, which is called Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget. And I just looked at that and I shook my head and thought, what has this world come to? Like, these puns that they put in the titles, it's like, oh, gosh, stop it.
Well, apparently Mac's name was supposed to be McNugget.
Well, they saw the lawsuit come in, so right. they changed that. So, yeah, it's going to be a sequel released exclusively on DreamWorks. And I'm still just having to kind of wrap my head around some of these movies that are just going to be exclusive Netflix releases. Uh-huh. And this will be one of them. So I'm interested to see, because I haven't really heard much of Aardman recently. I'm trying to see, they kind of had their era, you know, the Wallace and Gromit era. So, you know, as far as actual films that they have done, I mean, Chicken Run technically is considered like their first film, yeah. Not, you know, short. Curse of the Were-Rabbit in 2005, Flushed Away in 2006, which, by the way, I'm still just so shocked that in college, I took a history of animation class, and very rarely would we spend time watching an animated movie. And uh-huh. Flushed Away was the movie that my teacher chose of all the animation movies for us to sit and spend an hour and a half watching. I'm still kind of like shaking my head. Like, why did you do this? I know it had come out maybe a year or two before, but so Arthur Christmas, Pirates, The Adventure of Scientist. Oh, I forgot about that one. Shaun the Sheep Movie, Early Man, Shaun the Sheep Movie, Farmageddon, Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget. So yeah, there's they've kind of moved into some of these franchises. An untitled Wallace and Gromit film comes out in 2024, and then a movie called Love of a Time, TBA. So they are not done. They are not packing their bags. They have lots and lots more coming our way. So 2023, Dawn of the Nugget, here we come.
That was, yeah. So on June 23rd, 2020 was the 20th anniversary of Chicken Run. And they decided on that day to announce the sequel was in the works. They must have already been working on it, because June 2020 is just such a weird time. And I know that London was pretty locked down at that point still. And so I don't know like what Bristol was like, but it's just kind of weird that they would have that day. Maybe they were just trying to they've already been working on this. And so pre-pandemic. And so they're just like, might as well say that we're going to start doing this again. I don't know. It was weird. But yeah, I was looking at some of the voice actors for that, and they've changed a lot of them. Now Rocky is going to be spoken as Zachary Levi, and Ginger is Thonadie Newton.
Oh, interesting.
And the actress who played her in this one was... they told her that like she didn't sound young enough, and so she was like, "That's very ageist." I'm like, "Well, yeah,
it happens." So, what would you rate this film?
I would probably rate this 3.5 stars. I think this movie is completely charming. The dry British humor is very enjoyable, and the artistry always pops up the ranking for me in films like these. What holds me back, I think, is that the story isn't super memorable. And even though it is really simple, there are parts of the movie that you only remember as you're watching it. I'm not sure what could have been changed, though, because it was good. Maybe it's just because I don't really care about chickens. I've eaten many a chicken pot pie. So in order to not exist in some cognitive dissonance, my mind just says, eh.
I love me chicken pot pie. It is one of the greatest inventions of all time. Man, it's I want to eat some right now. I think that's on my dinner plans. I'm going to make some delicious chicken pot pie. So, okay. With that, I'm going to give it, it's hard because as I was reviewing it, I didn't have much to say about it.
Right.
In my heart of hearts, I want to give it 4 stars. So I'm just going to give it 4 stars and say it was pretty enjoyable, pretty good. Probably falls between the 3.5, 4-star realm. I'm not going to sit here and debate it back and forth, so I'm going to pick 4, and off we go.
There you go. All right, so let us know in the comments of this episode. Let us know your thoughts, feelings, and cries of outrage, if you so desire.
Yeah, so speaking of our last episode, I was talking about the patron gifts that we are giving our diamond patron, and I kind of teased what it is. At this point, all the patrons should have their packages so I can spoil what was in them. So one, I really was just, once I saw it, I was like, I have to give this to the patrons. So it was a Herculade, like, mug. But it's not, I thought it was a plastic thing, but when it arrived, they were actually glass. But So in the movie, when they're squirting their Herculade and they're drinking it, it has the straw. Yeah. So Chelsea, I ordered extra so I could give one to you. But then there were a bunch of other patrons that when I was looking at the list again.
On.
Yeah. And I was like, well, now we have no more extras. But don't worry. If you really want one, I can order you one so you can drink your Herculade
Herculade.
Great. Yes. And so there's other goodies in there. But that was the top of the top, which I was like, OK, this must be.
This must be. Yes. I love it. So random.
Very random. That's what you get sometimes. Yeah. So thank you to our patrons. If you're interested in becoming a patron, go to rotoscopers.com/Patreon or patron, whichever one floats your boat. They both lead you to the same place. And we appreciate all the patrons and their support, whether it's a one-time payment or you have been a patron for months and years. Thank you so much. So our next episode, we'll be watching Chicken Little. So... Chicken, here we come. So get ready. That'll be a good one. I'll have to sit down and finally watch it.
Yes, please do that.
I will. Yeah. Yes, I actually will watch the movie because that would be extra bad if I just like, nope. I know we're doing the movie, but I'm protesting. No, it'll be good. It'll be fun. There'll be lots of fun things we can talk about. So, and the person who's been like emailing us and DMing us for years about, trying to use our platform as a voice for Chicken Little 2 because we did a Chicken Little 2 April Fool's joke one year. And it was a joke. I really have to say that. It was a joke. But we will discuss after I see the movie and we watch it. And then we can have a little moment at the end. Like, does this deserve a sequel? Because with this movie that we just discussed, Chicken Run, I don't think it deserves a sequel. I don't really know what there is to be. But we'll see what they have to offer. Aardman is pretty good. I like them a lot. But yes, until next time, we are the Rotoscopers. That sounded so lame. Like, very, very famous. Cut that off.
Release. Not in your life.
Oh.
And hold on. Stop it.
Popular.
You are listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 248, Chicken Run.
Insert funny thing here.
Insert funny thing here. Okay. Well, there we go. What's our title? Chicken Society.
Chicken Society. Yeah, I could just call it Chicken Society. Or like, I like chicken pot pies.
I like chicken pot pies.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.